It's time for our weekly catch-up with ACT Party Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden.
So this week I talked to Brooke about two topics once again. This week we started off by talking about the housing announcement that Labor put out yesterday around the Brightside test, changes to interest rates and funding towards building more houses. So here's that conversation. So firstly, I was wanting to start off by chatting about the housing announcements that we saw yesterday from the government. So Labor has increased the Brightline test to 10 years. What impact does ACT think this will have on the housing market?
Oh, I think it's quite clear that extending the Brightline test is actually going to harm the people that the government said it was hoping to help. So the government came out and said that they're extending Brightline because they want to tilt home ownership towards first home buyers. So that, you know, you have to raise the question, well, who are they trying to tilt it against? Well, it's obviously people who are investing in homes and then rent them out. But what they didn't say is that extending this Brightline test is actually going to end up increasing people's rents. And that's what Treasury said in its report to the government would happen if the Brightline test was extended. And that leads to a problem here. Because the people who are renting are the first home buyers who are trying to get onto owning a property. But by increasing their rents, that just makes it harder and harder to save for that house deposit. So, in fact, extending this Brightline test harms the people that it was supposed to help.
So one of the other things around the Brightline test is that it's been seen as a broken promise from Labor because it is in relation, well, quite close to a capital gains tax. Should government be copping as much criticism for having a broken promise when nearly every government across New Zealand's history has delivered on broken promises?
Oh, it absolutely should be taken to task for breaking its promise. I mean, there are two things here that it's broken. Firstly, Grant Robertson before the election said he would not, under any circumstances, extend the Brightline test. Well, that's absolutely fake news. I mean, he went out and said that that would never happen. It has happened. The second thing is that they are adamant that this is not a capital gains tax. It absolutely is a capital gains tax. Essentially, it was a two-year test. It extended to a five-year test. Now it's a 10-year test, and it takes capital gains off a home. That has to be a capital gains tax. And the fact that they're not admitting to either of those things is essentially taking the mickey out of people who said that they would vote for them on their promises.
If they had just introduced a capital gains tax, would that have been more beneficial than increasing the Brightline test?
Well, they're essentially the same thing. Under both the capital gains tax and the Brightline test, the residential home was supposed to be exempt. But on this one, of course, there's even more. So in some ways it's even worse because they've brought in things like getting rid of interest deductibility on loans. So this is specific to those investors and says, well, currently people who have a mortgage on an investment property can write off some of that interest on the home that they have that loan on. Now, after 4 years, bearing in mind that most people take out a loan on a home for around a 30-year period, so they're making a long-term investment, they've said after 4 years, you'll now have to start paying interest on that home. Ultimately, that's a huge cost that now just gets put back onto people who'll be renting that home. That's another added increase on, for example, students. And they're trying to actually save up some money to live to make sure that they can get to university.
Shouldn't more pressure be put on property investors, though, to try and discourage people from investing in property, which would otherwise be going towards first-home buyers?
Well, there's another issue there, really, which is it only would work if we had supply. Ultimately, this is the same thing as trying to put a larger price, say, on food when you're in the middle of a famine. Essentially, we're taxing more the things that we already have. That doesn't actually lead to more of it being available for people. The only real way to make sure that there are more homes for first-time buyers, that the price doesn't keep growing astronomically, is to actually build more homes. So these short-term measures of putting in place new taxes on what we currently have without ensuring that we have that supply going forward increasing just means that the price is going to go up, and it's going to go up for the people who are the more disadvantaged, the students trying to actually live somewhere relatively close to university, those people who are currently trying to put away $200 a week to make sure that they can at some point own their first home, but now they might have to put away $250 instead for their rent.
Okay, so moving on to our next topic for this week is we're talking about the Trans-Tasman bubble, or more the lack of it. So should we really be considering a Trans-Tasman bubble when we only have a small portion of our population vaccinated at this point in time?
No, I don't think there's any reason why we shouldn't be considering it. And I know that the government is considering it because they said that they would have more information in April about the Trans-Tasman bubble. So it means they have been thinking about it. The difficulty that I have is the transparency once again. If the government is actually thinking about a Trans-Tasman bubble, then they should tell us the details of that. Currently, the Prime Minister came out this week and said, oh, well, we have some details, but we don't actually need to share those with you. I think she said, quote, I don't want to bore you with the details. We want to be bored. We want to know what they're actually planning, because how else can we keep them accountable for the plan going forward if we don't know what it is? And ultimately, the Australians have been doing well recently in keeping their own outbreaks contained in the same way that we have. There have been a couple of community cases, but they've been contained just as we have. The issue is the government has been saying that it must be much harder to contact trace an Australian who would be in New Zealand. And they've brought up this idea of, well, maybe we'd have to have mandatory COVID app use for Australians. But, of course, I don't see why they're painting these as issues when those aren't issues for New Zealanders currently living in the country. So the government does need to be clear what is actually going on that's stopping them considering this in greater detail, and if they do have the details, why are they not releasing them?
Okay, so with this whole Trans-Tasman bubble and how long it's taking, what sort of impact could this have on New Zealand and Australia's diplomatic relationship, seeing as it's taking so long?
Well, it really depends on whether the Australians are coming in and asking for it to happen too. And we genuinely don't know what the hold-up is, whether it's from our end or whether it's from the Australians' end. But I think this has long-term consequences for Australians' willingness to come to New Zealand for holidays. You know, Australia are currently in talks about the travel bubble with Singapore. And it's likely that people who may have been willing to come and spend their money in New Zealand and have a family holiday in Queenstown will now go to Singapore for their family holiday. And that could change you know, the whole culture for a whole couple of years, where people naturally are inclined to go to other places of the world, and this hurts our relationship.
Should we maybe try and jump in on this relationship and try and start like a triangle between us, Singapore and Australia?
I think that's a great idea. I mean, Singapore has been one of the countries that's been leading the world in their COVID response. And the same with Taiwan. They've been able to contain any community outbreaks and they haven't had any lockdowns. I think it would be remarkable if we could start a relationship and bring those travel bubbles for tourists and for businesses from Singapore, Australia, and Taiwan. And we definitely need to have those access of people to help bring money into the economy and help potentially our struggling small businesses and tourism operators in our regions.
So that was ACT Van Velden, Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party, talking about the housing announcement and the Trans-Tasman bubble.
That was Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party.